Last spring, a Florida pastor named David Coverstone started having what he claimed were prophetic dreams from the Lord about all kinds of chaos and destruction coming to America later this year. And the videos he posted about those dreams on YouTube have gotten over 2 million hits since last June. But his last dream was the granddaddy of them all, because he claimed he saw America's entire electronic grid blowing up, the Liberty Bell splitting in half, and Joe Biden laying dead in a casket this coming December the 17th. Holy cow. And folks, I have to tell you, I don't know if Joe Biden is dying, but I do know that America is dying. Politically, morally, and especially spiritually. And the only folks hope we have, folks, to be saved is revival sent from heaven by God. And Christmas is the perfect time for it, because Christmas is all about God sending revival to this world by sending Jesus Christ to this world. So we're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a short series called Revival for Christmas, looking at three things that we need to do at Christmas time that are also going to get us that revival that we desperately, desperately need. And we're going to start this series this morning where both Christmas and revival start themselves, and that's with Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to John chapter 1 and verse 14. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. John chapter 1 and verse 14. The Word became flesh and lived for a while among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's pray. Lord, I thank You for today. I just thank You, Lord, for Christmas time. I just pray, Lord, You would open our eyes today and see how desperately we need that revival that comes from You. Realize, Lord, that we can get it by focusing on You. Pray to come to us now by the power of Your Holy Spirit. I pray to open Your Word, teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Last December, pop singer Mariah Carey was asked what Christmas is really all about. And this is what she said. I import snow from the mountains, hire reindeer from the local zoo, pay actors to show up dressed like Santa's elves. I don't mess around, because Christmas is all about the big red guy. Well, no, the Bible tells us that Christmas is really all about Jesus Christ. So the most important thing that we need to do to get revival at Christmas, we need to focus on Christ. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18 is the prologue to John's gospel. And it tells us all about Jesus Christ being the Word of God. And our text today tells us what really happened at the first Christmas when the Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that we can start that revival by focusing on Jesus and what He is already doing to revive us right now. Our text this morning, John chapter 1, verse 14, tells us three things that we need to do to focus on Jesus and get revival for Christmas. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do to get revival for Christmas, we need to focus on who Jesus is. And that's exactly what John does here in verse 14. Now, for those of you who didn't take Christianity 101, Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, coexistent and co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And notice it says, the beginning, not His beginning, because Jesus never had a beginning, because Jesus is eternal God. The Word of God. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, when God says, let there be, and there was, that was Jesus doing that. All things were created by Him and for Him, and through Him, all things hold together. Colossians 1, 17. Jesus is God. And His coming down from heaven at Christmas time, that's what revival is all about. Revival is God's presence with us. And at Christmas time, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That's revival. And notice how He came. The Word became flesh. Last year, officials in Astoria, Oregon, blew up big yellow inflatable air dancers to scare away all the sea lions that would congregate and clog up the city ports. But see, Jesus didn't come like something to scare us away. Jesus came like us to draw us to Him. That's revival. And why is that so incredible? Because Exodus chapter 33 verse 20 says in the Old Testament, no one could see God and live because His glory would absolutely burn you to a crisp. So before the first Christmas, God was only spiritual. But then after the first Christmas, God was also hands-on and physical in Jesus Christ because He wanted us to know Him and wanted a relationship with us and wanted to live in our hearts by faith. That's revival. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that phrase in Greek literally means He came down and camped out with us. Pitched a tent and camped out with us. So that He could experience and go through every single thing that you and I experience and go through. Unlike all kinds of other people today. Supermodel Haley Baldwin, Justin Bieber's wife, has never once driven a car in her entire life. Prince Harry of England was 17 years old before he realized cereal came out of a cardboard box. Kim Kardashian has never once cooked a meal, can't even boil water. All these celebrities who are so different from us, but see, Jesus Christ was just like us. Jesus was just like us because He actually became one of us. The Son of God became a son of man so that the sons of men could become the sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 4, in Him was life and that life was the light of men. That's revival. Jesus Christ came down to earth at Christmas time, God in the flesh, to give us life and bring revival to the whole wide world. Amen. And holy Feliz Navidad, people, do we ever need that revival right now? Honchos told us to cancel Thanksgiving. Now they're telling us to cancel Christmas too because of COVID. See, don't you dare celebrate Christmas with your own family members, but it's perfectly fine to get in a scrum full of total strangers on Black Friday to get a PlayStation 5. That makes no sense. Joe Biden says we're in for a long, dark winter. And USA Today said COVID has made every man, woman, and child in America a potential serial killer. Gee, Merry Christmas to you too. Here's the stats, latest stats from the CDC. 94% of all deaths from COVID are people over 70 years old. 63% of all deaths from COVID in the United States were in nursing homes. In the UK, the average age at death from COVID is higher than the average life expectancy. 99.78% of Americans will never get COVID. And of those who do, 99.5% of them will fully recover. The adult death rate from COVID is 0.023%. 300 people die in Illinois every day from COPD, far more than those who have ever died in one day from COVID. I could go on and on. Johns Hopkins said this past week that COVID has not increased at all the number of people who die in America every single year anyway. And what does that tell us, folks? These lockdowns aren't just about health, they're about control. When your government tells you that you can't go to work, that you can't send your kids to the school that your tax money is paying for, when you've got to wear something on your face and you've got to limit the number of people you can have in your house, that's not safety, that's tyranny. Amen. The governor of Pennsylvania is now telling people in that state they've got to wear face masks inside their own house. God allowed COVID-19 to draw people to Him. And yet what are government doing? They're closing churches again. People, we need revival. The church needs revival. Last October, Episcopalian priest William Love resigned as bishop of Albany, New York, after church leaders disciplined him for not officiating at gay weddings. Did you catch that? He did not violate church rules by marrying gay couples. He violated church rules and stood up for God rules by refusing to marry gay couples. That's what got him in trouble. If that doesn't show you how screwed up the church is today, I don't know what does. We need revival like nobody's business. And do you know why? Because too many people today do not know who Jesus Christ really is. Every single year at Christmas time, the Muslims come out with the same old propaganda. We worship the exact same Jesus that you Christians do. Here's a statement from the Council of American Islamic Relations. Muslims believe that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and that He was an honored prophet who did all kinds of miracles. So we believe everything that Christians believe about Jesus. We just don't believe that He's the Savior. Oh, is that all? Folks, Jesus being the Savior is what Christianity is all about. Muslims don't believe that Jesus is God. They don't believe that He's the Son of God. They don't believe He died on a cross for sins or rose from the dead for our salvation. The Muslim Jesus is as fake as a tofu turkey. Last month, the Lutheran Church in Iceland came out with this ad showing Jesus as a transgendered woman. Church officials said they wanted to reimagine Jesus to make Him look more like society. God help us, people. It is not our job to make Jesus look more like the world. Our job is to make the world look more like Jesus. He's God. Which means you don't reimagine Him for anyone or anything for any reason. Got that? And why does it matter that Jesus was God who actually came down to earth in human flesh? Ever since this whole pandemic started, Democrat leaders all over the United States have made rules for other people to follow that they have no intention of following themselves. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot rails and rails about wearing masks and social distancing. Yet last November the 7th, when the media crowned Joe Biden King of America, she ran out into the street into a mob of people who weren't socially distanced at all and started screaming through a bullhorn with her mask pulled down. See, the rules are only for you. They're not for me. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker announced 2 weeks ago nobody in Illinois was supposed to travel. Everybody's supposed to stay home for Thanksgiving. But do you know what J.B. Pritzker's wife and daughter did? They traveled down to one of their mansions and horse farms in Wellington, Florida. And why? Because the governor said somebody needed to feed the horses. Like they don't already pay other people to do that. California Governor Gavin Newsom has his state on total lockdown. Mask, social distancing, the whole nine yards. And yet last November the 6th, he was spotted at a friend's birthday party at a swanky $400 a plate restaurant in Napa Valley. See them all scooched around the table? No mask, no social distancing at all. 2 weeks ago, the mayor of Austin, Texas, Steve Adler, made a video telling all the residents of Texas to stay home on Thanksgiving. But you know what? He made that video while he himself was on vacation in Cabo, Mexico. I could go on and on. Folks, when your government leaders make laws that they have no intention of keeping themselves, you're not being governed, you're being ruled. Not as citizens, but as subjects. And yet all of those still have the gall to say, we're all in this together. But see, when Jesus says we're all in this together, He means it. Because even though Jesus was the Son of God with all power and glory in heaven, He left all that behind when He came down to earth in human form. And Jesus really did dwell among us, not above us, but right beside us. Because Jesus wasn't a billionaire, and He didn't live in a mansion, and He didn't go to fancy restaurants that we can't go to. And Jesus never lorded anything over us, and He never pulled rank, and He never called us subject. He calls us brothers and sisters because He loves us. And He got down at our level, and He got tired and dirty and hungry and thirsty, just like we do. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus shared our flesh and blood humanity, which means Jesus dealt with the exact same problems we do, dealt with the exact same frustrations we do, had to fight off the exact same temptations that we do, followed the exact same rules He gave us to follow. And because Jesus did that and overcame it by faith in Jesus Christ, we can do it and overcome it too. Amen. Liberal hypocrites show us how much we need revival. But it's only Jesus who actually gives us the revival. The first thing that we need to do to get revival at Christmas, we've got to focus on who Jesus is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to get revival at Christmas. We not only need to focus on who Jesus is, we also need to focus on what Jesus does. And John tells us here, verse 14, He gives us grace and truth. And Jesus was a perfect balance of both. One hand up, hey, that's wrong. But also, one hand out. Here, let me help you. Grace and truth. Revival only comes from grace and truth in Jesus Christ. And boy, do we ever need that grace. Because we Americans are more divided right now than we have ever been in the history of this nation. But especially over this election. But see, Joe Biden has a solution. See the cover of People in Time magazine? It's time for America to unite. It's time to heal. But of course, that means to him that all of us Christian conservatives just shut up and get in line behind the left. And it's an absolute joke because all the while they talk about unity, they keep doing more and more things to divide us. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez now has an enemies list called the Trump Accountability Project that's designed to root out anybody who ever supported the Trump administration, dox them, bomb their social media, and get them fired from their job. Oh yeah, a lot of grace and healing there. Now that conservatives are flocking away from Facebook and going to Parler, leftists are now saying that Parler is the home for neo-Nazis. Gee, I thought Joe Biden said, we got to stop demonizing people. The video you see there shows what Black Lives Matter did to some Trump supporters after a Trump rally in Washington, D.C. last November the 14th. Folks, if that's unity, I'd hate to see what division looks like. And to this day, of course, not one single word from either Joe Biden or Kamala Harris to denounce any kind of violence at all from Black Lives Matter or Antifa.
That's right.
And you know why? Because they think the violence is justified too. In fact, during the campaign, Joe Biden even said that Antifa was just a concept. Folks, there they are. Let me ask you, does that look like just a concept to you? So what's our only hope? Josh Schulman and Tim Place are next door neighbors in Washington County, Wisconsin. Josh Schulman is a born again Christian and a big Trump supporter. His neighbor Tim Place is a big Joe Biden supporter. Well, last October the 6th, Josh Schulman saw that somebody had stolen Tim Place's Biden-Harris campaign sign right out of his front yard. So you know what born-again Christian Trump supporter Josh Schulman did? He went to the local Democrat Party headquarters and got a Biden-Harris sign and gave it to his neighbor to replace the one that was stolen. And why in the world would he do that? This is what Josh Schulman said. I'm a real Trump supporter, but more importantly, I'm a Christian. And Christians love their neighbors and our country. So even if I disagree with my neighbor about his political choices, I still support his right to exercise his freedom of speech. I was just showing him some grace. Now, that is grace. I don't know that I'd have done it, but that is grace. Revival comes from the grace of Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. And boy, do we need truth today like nobody's business. Especially about this election. Because people, this election was stolen. And everybody knows it. You say, Kevin, how do you know? Because I'm not Helen Keller. 11 p.m. on election night, November the 3rd. All of a sudden, five different states in three different time zones, all at exactly the same time, announced that they were going to stop counting ballots. But then after all the Republican poll watchers went home, they didn't stop counting ballots. So from 1:30 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. in Philadelphia, Atlanta, Milwaukee, and Detroit, poll workers kept counting hundreds and hundreds of thousands of ballots, almost exclusively 100% for Joe Biden. And where did all those ballots come from? The North Pole? Here's some facts about this election. Not rumors, not allegations, facts. Votes came into Atlanta and Philadelphia after 1:30 a.m. in algorithmic blocks. 1,200 vote blocks in Atlanta, 2,000 vote blocks in Philadelphia. 99.4% for Biden, only 0.6% for Trump, which is a statistical impossibility. Pennsylvania mailed out 1.8 million ballots, but got over 2.1 million back. Figure that out. Precincts in heavenly Democratic Fulton County in Georgia sent in 2.5 times more ballots than the total number of people actually living in those precincts. Over 14,000 people who voted in Nevada voted in multiple states. 220,686 ballots in Pennsylvania were mailed back the same day they were mailed in, which is another statistical impossibility. Over 20,000 ballots in Pennsylvania were mailed back in before they were even mailed out. Joe Biden won only 17% of all counties in America, yet got 10 million more votes than Barack Obama in 2012. Folks, there's more red flags there than a communist parade. And people say, well, Kevin, there's irregularities in every election. Folks, those aren't irregularities. It's evidence of fraud. People say, where's the evidence? There's mountains of evidence. So much evidence, I don't want any more evidence. What I want is an explanation of the evidence. And cue the crickets. You say, well, Kevin, they recounted the vote in Georgia three different times, and the numbers are the same. The issue is not the number of votes. The issue is the quality and status of the votes that were counted. Because some of the ballots shouldn't have been counted because a lot of the ballots are fraudulent. Folks, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of whistleblowers from those four different cities who are eyewitnesses of the fraud that happened. People who signed affidavits knowing that the penalty for perjury is going to jail. People who were beaten and put into the hospital. People who got fired from their jobs. People who got death threats for testifying. Like retired Naval Commander Greg Stenstrom, who is also a computer forensic scientist, who was a poll watcher, Delaware County in Philadelphia, where he saw people walking around with baggies filled with flash drives that were used to upload tens of thousands of ballots for Joe Biden. And then all of a sudden, all the flash drives mysteriously disappear. Karen Busby, who was a poll worker in Detroit, Michigan, who saw thousands and thousands of illegal ballots being counted anyway by poll workers overriding the system and manipulating the software to make them count. Former Kansas Attorney General Ken Klein, who was a poll worker in Atlanta, said this was the most lawless election in the history of this country. And according to its own standards, the United States State Department would not recognize this past election as a valid election if it was held in another country. And why don't most Americans know this? Because, of course, the propaganda media purposely never mentions it. Never. They say there is no evidence because they just ignore it and never report it. Total 100% blackout gag order on any evidence at all, any eyewitness, any allegation. Never reported on TV. But you know what is on TV? Joe Biden. Illegitimate president-elect Joe Biden now is on TV more than Ryan Seacrest. The real president, Donald Trump, totally censored. And you know why? Because the media knows this election was stolen too. Notice the rush. Saturday, November 7th, just 4 days after the election, the Associated Press declared Joe Biden the winner while multiple states were still counting ballots. Then the rush to get President Trump to concede, then his supporters. Go on. Don't ask any questions. Because you're threatening democracy. You're suppressing the vote. What are you, a white supremacist? And notice the distraction. All of a sudden, the election is over. The pandemic goes through the roof. Joe Biden says 250,000 more Americans are going to die in the next 2 months. We got to focus on this pandemic. We got to focus on getting this vaccine out. We got to move on from the election. A vaccine that 99.78% of Americans don't need. And the McRib sandwich is back at McDonald's. See, don't look over there. Look over here. And Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14. Justice is turned back. And truth lies fallen in the streets. And why so much fraud? Because leftists do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they think revival in America is going to come from some leftist progressive president, and it isn't. And this president proved it. Former President Barack Obama just came out with his autobiography. A 768-page doorstop where he basked in the sheer brilliance of his own supreme magnificence. And in case you don't know, that's just volume one, which means a second volume, just as long or even longer, is still to come. Let me ask you something. If your autobiography is longer than the Bible, what does that say about you? Grace and truth. The sad fact is, we will never share that grace and truth of Jesus Christ with other people until we first of all receive and accept that grace and truth ourselves. That's why, most importantly, more than anything else, we have got to be working and praying for revival in this country. just like him. After the turn of the century, America was spiritually dead as a doornail. Until 1906, Los Angeles, California, a one-eyed black preacher named William Seymour, son of former slaves, started praying and crying out to God for revival. February 22nd, 1906, he started preaching salvation and revival in a tumble-down church over top of a livery stable on Azusa Street in Los Angeles. And even though all the other churches in town blackballed him, he kept preaching, he kept praying, till the glory fell. And the Azusa Street revival started. And for the next 9 years, people from all over the United States, all over the world, flocked to Los Angeles and got saved and healed and filled with the Holy Spirit. And hundreds of thousands of people came into the kingdom. And man, oh man, do we need a move of God like that today in America? And nobody knows it better than him. Worship leader Sean Foyt, born-again Trump supporter from Redding, California. Black March. California Governor Gavin Newsom closed all the churches because of COVID, but still let Black Lives Matter do protests without any mask or any social distancing at all. So Sean Foyt started what he called worship protests, so Christians could get together and lift up Jesus Christ without any mask or social distancing at all. And he held those worship protests all up and down the coast of California. Then, after the death of George Floyd, he started his Riots to Revivals tour. Went to every city where there was a major riot and did a major revival so that Christians could reclaim that territory for Jesus Christ. So Sean Foyt went everywhere. He traveled from Minneapolis to Seattle to Portland to St. Louis to Nashville, Tennessee, Washington, D.C., and all points in between. And even though all the churches blackballed him and Facebook censored all of his videos and devil worshipers threw pig blood on him and his band and trashed all of his sound systems, he never stopped. He kept going. He kept doing ministry. And as a result, thousands and thousands of people all across the United States got saved and baptized, filled with the Spirit. People, it was revival. And Sean Foyt is not finished yet, because this coming New Year's Eve from 9 to midnight, he's holding another worship protest on Azusa Street in Los Angeles, fully expecting God to pour out the Holy Spirit there just like he did back in 1906. And of course, the city doesn't want to give him a permit to do it, and all kinds of local pastors are upset because Azusa Street is only 3 blocks away from Skid Row, where all kinds of street ministries are trying to keep 3,000 homeless people safe from the coronavirus. But this is what Sean Foyt said. We're not here to put anybody at risk. We encourage people to mask and social distance, but we also recognize as free American citizens, they have a right to make that decision for themselves. But our focus is only on bringing revival to our country, because America is dying without God. So no matter what's going on in this country, no matter what kind of opposition we face, we aren't going anywhere. And we're just going to keep being bold and keep taking a stand and keep praying and lifting up Jesus until he rocks this nation to its core and saves this country. Amen. And Christians, listen to me. We've got to have exactly the same attitude. So even during a pandemic, even during an economic lockdown, even during everything that's happening in this country with a contested election that's splitting this nation right down the middle, even if all of the Christians think we're crazy, we ain't going anywhere. We're just going to keep working and praying for an earth-shaking, devil-quaking, disciple-making revival that blows our socks off, brings this nation to its knees, brings millions of people into the kingdom, and saves this country. So we're not just praying for revival, we're planning on it. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Which means what Jesus did before at the Azusa Street Revival, he can sure enough do again. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. Lord, we have heard of your awesome deeds in the past. Please, please renew them in our own day. The second thing we need to do to get revival for Christmas, we've got to focus on what Jesus does. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to get revival for Christmas. We not only need to focus on who Jesus is, we not only need to focus on what Jesus does. Third, we just need to behold His glory. And that's exactly what John tells us here in verse 14. And back when Jesus was on earth, there was a lot of glory to behold. His preaching, His teaching, all the miracles, all the healings, calming a storm at sea, especially His death and resurrection. And John, like so many other people, beheld His glory. And Christians, if we would just open up our eyes of faith, we would behold it today too. because Jesus is still doing just as many glorious, victorious things today as he did back then. Right now, the abortion rate in America is lower than it has been in the last 25 years. Behold his glory. The Billy Graham Evangelistic Association reports that 1.7 million people came to Christ this year just through their website. Behold his glory. Right now there are 2 million Christians in the Muslim nation of Iran, and the underground church there is growing at a rate of 20% a year. In fact, so many Muslims in Iran are coming to Christ right now. Lots of Iranian cities, the mosques are empty on Friday night service times. Behold his glory. The Hormel company has come out with a bacon-scented face mask. So if there is anything that would ever make you tolerate a mask mandate, there it is. God bless America and bacon. Behold his glory. Last September, 106-year-old Connie Tension from Birmingham, England, got COVID and got put in the hospital. And then this is what she said happened. After 6 weeks in the hospital fighting for my life, I just cried out to Jesus. And all of a sudden, there he was, right in the room with me. And he reached out his hand and touched my forehead. And that virus was gone, totally gone. And I was totally healed by Jesus at 106. Glory to his name for his mercy to me. Good gravy, people. Behold his glory. George Barna tells us one out of every five churches in America right now will be closed for good by next year because of coronavirus. But listen to me. Not this church. Not Fox River. Because by the grace of God, we never lost one person to this virus. We never had to cut staff. We never had to cut salaries. We never cut back at all in what we give to foreign missions. Because even during the lockdown, our income went up. And we took care of all kinds of business. We did tiling and landscaping. We fixed a parking lot. We patched and repainted the entire first floor of this church. And most importantly, we started a live stream ministry that is now reaching people all the way out to Timbuktu. Folks, take a look around. This is what the Lord has done. Behold his glory. And listen, we better behold his glory because we need that right now more than ever. Last month, Calvary Chapel Church in San Jose, California was fined $220,000 just for having a worship service on Sunday morning, May the 31st. And that $220,000 doesn't include an additional sky-high fine for people singing during that worship service. People, this is absolutely nuts. You don't think the left is coming after us? And yes, last November the 25th, the United States Supreme Court voted 5-4 that states cannot use pandemic restrictions to close churches. But do you realize that also means that four justices on the United States Supreme Court voted to destroy your religious freedom? God-given constitutional rights that government should never be able to take away. No matter what is happening in this country, no matter who the president is, no matter what political party is in charge. But they did it. And we need to realize it's not just this election that's being stolen. It's the whole entire American election process. And the rule of law, and our freedom, and our country, and the very future of our constitutional republic, which the left has always wanted to destroy anyway. And now, with mail-in ballot fraud, they found the perfect way to get it done. And now it all comes down to ground zero. That two Senate seat runoff in Georgia this coming January the 5th, where criminal organizations like the New Georgia Project are already sending people 4, 5, and 6 mail-in ballots apiece and registering everybody from out-of-state college students to dead Civil War soldiers to vote. God help us, people, the fix is already in. And sadly enough, we all know where this is going. America is headed to totalitarianism and total government control over people's lives. No God, no absolutes, no value for human life. The state determines what's right and wrong. And a state-controlled media that lies to people and manipulates public opinion. Folks, we have every single one of those things in America right now already. You ever seen a Joe Biden press conference? All reporters have to submit their questions to his handlers ahead of time for their approval. So every single question is already pre-screened and pre-selected. And a week and a half ago, when Joe Biden fractured his foot, absolutely no photographer was allowed to put out any picture of him going into the hospital or walking out of the hospital. Do you think they would have done that for President Donald Trump? Not on your life. So much for a free and independent media. And of course, this downfall, all aided and abetted by Never Trumper Christians who tell us that we need to hate Donald Trump in order to share the gospel. Christians who are far more worried about their reputations with pagans than the pagan policies of a Biden administration that will destroy our civil rights, fund terrorism, bow down to China, and slaughter unborn babies to who wouldn't have it. So any Never Trumper Christians listen to this sermon right now, you possibly helped get elected the most corrupt person to ever run for president. And his running mate, Kamala Harris, the most radical, socialist, pro-abortion, pro-gay, anti-American member of the entire U.S. Senate. So congratulations, Never Trumpers. Evil job well done. But listen, no matter how bad it may seem in America right now, this Christian ain't quitting. Because I do not believe for a second that God is done with this country or with the church in this country. But if we are ever going to see Jesus revive this nation, and if we are ever going to behold His glory for doing it, it has to come by prayer. Because the battle for America is a spiritual battle, and the number one calling for the last day's church is prayer. Because we don't shoot cops and burn down buildings like Black Lives Matter. We tear down spiritual demonic strongholds by the power of the Holy Spirit. And right now, millions and millions of Christians from all over America and from all over the world are taking a stand for righteousness, Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, and praying their guts out that God would cast the spirit of delusion out of this country and replace it with the spirit of truth and save America. So pray. Pray. Because I don't care how bad the situation is, the judge of the earth will do right. And we will behold His glory in this nation. So pray. Because you have no idea, no idea how God can take a very bad situation and turn it around just like that. 2020 has been a really bad year for the Minnesota Vikings. Because even though they were expected to compete for the NFC Championship, they lost a bunch of crazy games early, started out their record 1-5. Then they won 3 games in a row. Then they lost to the Dallas Cowboys to put their record at 4-6. So if the Vikings ever needed a win to preserve their sliver of a playoff chance, they had to beat the Carolina Panthers at home last Sunday, or heads were going to roll. Well, the Vikings were up at halftime 10-7. But then the Panthers recovered 2 Viking fumbles and turned them into scooping scores on 2 consecutive plays. So 69 seconds into the third quarter, the Panthers were up 21-10. Then both teams traded field goals to make it 24-13 with 14 minutes and 30 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. Then Viking quarterback Kirk Cousins hit Justin Jefferson for a 10-yard touchdown pass. 2-point conversion made it 24-21. Then, 5 minutes 31 seconds to go, the Vikings held the Panthers, and they had to punt. So Viking receiver Chad Beebe dropped back for the punt. Opportunity to get the ball, drive the length of the field, either tie it with a field goal or score a touchdown. He drops back for the punt, calls for a fair catch, and this happened.
Special in the final 90-plus seconds. Carolina kicking it away to the Vikings, who are going to get a chance with 2 minutes remaining. Unless they do that, a muffed kick, and that just about does it. It's at the 2-minute warning. We'll be there in just a moment.
Chad Beebe caught thousands and thousands of punts like that, but for some reason, he muffed that one. Panthers recover at the Viking 9-yard line. And in case you don't know football, you can't do that. You just cannot fumble the ball in your own red zone towards the end of the game when you're trailing and needing to score. The Panthers were probably going to get a touchdown. Game over. Playoff chances over. Season over. Chad Beebe's time with the Vikings over. It was nice to know you. But you know what? Nobody knew that better than Chad Beebe. And folks, can you imagine what number 12 was feeling? Fumbling a punt in front of a national TV audience, millions and millions of people watching you, letting your teammates down and your coaches down, all the announcers, all the fans making you the most hated man in Minnesota, gamblers with big-time money on the final score wishing that you were dead, all those feelings running through his head. Talk about wanting to crawl in a hole. But what do you know? The Viking defense held the Panthers to a field goal, so they were up 27-21, which meant the Vikings still had a minute 50 seconds to go, drive the length of the field, get a touchdown, an extra point for a miracle win. So Kirk Cousins just kept dinking and dunking all the way down to the Panthers' 10-yard line. And then with just 46 seconds to go, second down, this happened.
On the top to get a touchdown. Empty backfield, second and goal. Cousins to the end zone. Touchdown! Redemption for Chad Beebe. Are you kidding me? Wow! Are you kidding me? For Chad Beebe, his first NFL touchdown after he muffed a punt moments ago, which gave Carolina the ball back.
In the slot, he's going to run just out and up and gets right behind. Is that Corn Elder? He's trying to play leverage and...
Man, what a second half.
Chad Beebe, who fumbled a punt just 1 minute, 24 seconds earlier, catches a 10-yard touchdown pass to win the game. Game saved, playoff saved, season saved. Chad Beebe goes from zero to hero. And did you hear that announcer say, oh my God? Absolutely right, because God was all a part of that. Psalm 118, verse 23, the Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Behold His glory. But you know why that happened? Because Chad Beebe never, ever, ever gave up on God. As bad as he was feeling after fumbling that punt, he didn't run back into the locker room, take off his pads, and quit the team. As bad as he was feeling, he dragged his behind back out on that field because God called him to be a professional football player with a job to do, no matter how many bad things had happened before. So he just stayed in the game and kept playing and kept grinding. And because there was a minute 50 seconds still left on the clock, the game wasn't over yet. And with God, all things are possible. This is what Chad Beebe said. That drop punt was on me, but my teammates picked me up and I just didn't quit. I just kept hanging on to my faith in the Lord and didn't quit on Him. I've had a lot of trials and tribulations throughout my career, mostly due to injury. But the Lord just kept pressing that passion into me, never quit. And look what God can do because of it. He never quit on me. I will never quit on Him. People, Chad Beebe never quit. And listen to me, we're not going to quit either. So I don't care what's going on in America right now. I don't care how bad the situation seems. I don't care what the media is saying. I don't care how far behind we are with time running out. 1 minute, 24 seconds from now, every single thing can be different. Because with God, all things are possible. And He can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat and turn your worst disaster into your greatest blessing. Because God, it ain't over until God says it's over. And right now, God says it ain't over by a long shot. So as long as there is any time left on the clock at all, you stay in the game, you keep working, you keep playing, you keep grinding, and God will use it to turn this nation upside down for Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a kind of a year like we have never had before. Which means... this is a kind of Christmas like we have never had before. And because of that, we want something for Christmas like we have never wanted for Christmas before. We want revival for Christmas in America. And revival starts by focusing on Jesus. And you know what? We can start that revival right now. Because Jesus is here right now. He's in our hearts, and He's in this room among us who are gathered in His name. So right now, would you please stand where you're at? And let's get this revival started by simply beholding His glory. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Oh, come let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory. We'll give Him all the glory, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy. For He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord. Lord, we stand in Your presence right now asking You to do something that we cannot do, that we cannot do as individual Christians, that we cannot do as individual churches, that we cannot do as the body of Christ as a whole. And that's revive this nation. And that starts, Lord, by reviving us, by reviving ourselves. We just ask, Lord, You would pour out Your Holy Spirit this Christmas season. This revival would begin. It would begin with us. It would begin here at Fox River. Lord, that people might be saved, that You might be lifted up. This nation would be preserved. All these things we ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.